Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast, where healthcare meets business, with your host, me, Dr. Karen Litzy. And just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not to be used as personalized medical advice. Enjoy the show.
Hello, listeners of Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I'm so grateful to be here to interview Dr. Veronica Canada, who is a specialist in sports physical therapy. Specifically today, we're going to be focusing on the difference between swimming and diving. We're just going to dive. dive right on into that. So first of all, Ronnie, would you mind giving a little background on your experience with swimming and diving?
All right, sure. Hey, everybody. So a little bit about my background. I have been a swimmer, competitive swimmer, since the age of 7. Wow, that's a long time that I think about it. We're not going to talk about that. And then shortly after that, I took up competitive diving when I was 12. And then when I was 16, I was doing year-round for both sports. And then I did Division I diving in college, and the rides have been a complete roller coaster, and it's been amazing because I learned a lot of things, both from a physical standpoint, from the sports themselves, and from a mental point. And now that I'm adult, I'm just like, oh wow, like those were life lessons that were taught back then, but it clicks now. And now being in physical therapy, I'm like, oh wow, this really makes sense. Or like, wow, I remember my shoulder hurting. Or like, wow, I remember this hurting me. And like, it makes sense now. So that's why I'm really passionate about it. And can't wait to talk to you about it a little bit more.
I'm so happy. This is exciting. And we know each other from the dance PT world.
Yes.
So that's our connection. And Disney. Double D. Disney and dance PT. Absolutely. And I've known you for a while now. So I've known about your passion for sports. It's funny, actually, before I started this interview, before today, I went and I just did a quick Google because I started to get curious about the research that's out there.
Yeah.
Because when we get into more niche specific sports, and when what does pop up for swimming and diving, there was definitely stuff for swimming. There was, but when diving, scuba diving was everywhere. Yep. And scuba diving is so different from diving up super high. I was going, there was like hardly any. So I was wondering, just to start there, what has your journey been with looking at the evidence that is out there? Where are we at with knowing from that perspective?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's like how I feel about my bank account. I'm struggling to find stuff because I'm just like, because on a serious note, like you said, like when you type in the word diving, you get scuba diving, get cliff diving, you get springboard, you get platform. There's different types of diving. So, and all of that requires different physical demands. So like, for example, when you look at like the Red Bull, like cool cliff divers that are diving off of like 60 foot high or 60 meter high cliffs from like from a mountain in Europe, you're hitting the water, your wrists alone are hitting the water at more than 45 miles an hour versus a springboard diver who's 3 meters high, you're hitting at a little bit of a less speed. So like there's different demands. So the research is going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, it's cool too, because like, you don't even think about that. Like you don't even think about scuba diving. So it's just like, oh wow. Like that is something.
Someone out there or like a group. I mean, I didn't look at who did the research, but it's probably from the same place. They're like, yeah, let's do more.
Let's do scuba diving. And even that, you know what made me laugh? Because I remember one time I did a project on diving and I was trying to find research because, you know, your professor's like, yo, you got to find something. I'm like, okay. And I did that. And I'm like, why is scuba diving on here? But I was like, you know what? I'm going to procrastinate a little bit. So I read an article and it was about lung capacities and like different, the deeper you go, I think the more pressure it builds on your lungs or something along those lines of what that can do as a scuba diver and how that trickles into the physical demand. And I was like, oh, that's a good research story.
That's it, right? Right? But I mean, it's so funny. We're on track, we're also off track, but I needed to point that out right away.
Yeah.
Just, I think always starting with the evidence and what's out there. And I know you already knew that, but I just wanted to talk about it because there is such a huge lack of evidence. It's like, what?
And that's why a lot of the times when when you get at least, but like specific sports, when you get a lot of them, a lot of it is either I've worked with it or I did it, or it's a combination of both. It's not, you're not going to find a lot of evidence right now, at least, on diving from this perspective, only because it's really there's a lot to take in. There's a lot of factors that play into that role. And when you conduct research, you kind of have to like narrow it down to an extent, but everybody, and on top of that, everybody's built differently. I mean, that's what makes research fun. Yeah. But it's going to be very hard to trickle down to like, what specifically are you looking for? Because there's outdoor diving too. Now you have to take into account weather changes, wind speed, that affects a certain angle that you hit the water at. That can include speed. There's different factors. So you may not find a lot of research. And trust me, I was struggling to find research.
Absolutely. One thing that you had messaged me about was the shoulder. The shoulder is definitely an injury that is found in swimmers. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, when comparing, because the shoulder injuries from the opinion articles out there, expert articles out there on let's say competitive swimming, competitive diving, because that way we can narrow it down here in this conversation. Mm-hmm. So like, would you say from a kinesthetic standpoint, because that's what we have right now, an anatomical standpoint, could the shoulder injury be different or caused differently from just competitive swimming to diving? Because competitive swimming, they are still diving in the water, but it's just very low. It's so low. That's a huge question that I just asked.
No. I like it because when I was doing research on this, I literally tried to like put myself in your shoes, and I was like, what do you think she's gonna ask you? But
it's just me. I always like to be a conversation.
But no, honestly, it strikes up good conversation though. But to answer your question, a lot of the times, in terms of differentiating between with shoulder injuries with swimmers versus divers, a lot of the time, shoulder injuries, are more overuse when it comes to swimmers. When you look at an average competitive swimmer, you're going to hear either somewhere between a, hey, this is something I just started, or B, I've been doing this for more than 5 years. And the shoulder, you know, just anatomically, shoulders are more used for mobility rather than stability. And already you're having all the muscles trying to work with the laws of buoyancy and I can't even talk right now, but it's fine. Just the laws pretty much of water. And you're trying to build resistance. And then you have coaches that you may have a different coach here and there type thing that might train you differently because you're more of a sprinter in terms of competitive swimming, or you're more distance in terms of competitive swimming. But anyway, it puts a lot of strain on your shoulders, because I'm not going to say that's all you use, because you're using every muscle in the body when it comes to swimming, literally. But the ones that is predominantly used in this sport, regardless of how you use it, are your shoulders. So a lot of times it is overuse. And on top of that, if we're going to throw in just daily living, how are you? Are you a desk worker? Are you constantly slouching? So now you're putting your shoulders in a more predisposed position. Are you a multi-sport athlete? Because like me, I did 3 sports. I did swimming, diving, and softball. So for my shoulders were just either, I'm not saying pain all the time, but they were bothering me a little bit. But on top of that, you know, I was a very studious person. So I'm sitting like this all the time. And now I'm older and I look back and I'm like, okay, now that makes sense. But, you know, in the moment, you're not really thinking about that. And on top of that, it wasn't until I was really 15, 16, where I started training competitively, because my coach believed I could have made the Olympic trials, that's when, like, he really took me on a different page with this, where it wasn't just about pure water. Now you're talking about dry land, which involves a lot of plyometric movement. Sometimes it really is working on just explosive power, or it's working on building up your upper body strength, but not really focusing on keeping the joint intact, but rather let's get you ready for competition. Versus diving, it's less overused, more acute. A lot of the times if I injured my shoulder more with swimming than diving, but the times I didn't injure it with diving, it was, I didn't place my hand like above my head where it should be. Or
your ergonomics, your
So like in diving, you have to place your, like when you grab your hands like this, you have to place your hands kind of like either by your ears or maybe even a little bit behind
for
when you
those
hit
who are
the water.
listening, what Veronica's doing is raising her arms up right by her head
Yeah,
and saying that
and
the arms need to
squeezing
be.
your head as tight as you can.
Oh, you have to squeeze your head with your hands.
Yeah.
Question, does it matter if your shoulders are hiked up?
That's a good question.
Because you, when you were just demonstrating now, your shoulders went up to make it happen, to squeeze. And it's harder to squeeze with the
It's
shoulders
harder to
down.
squeeze. Yeah. So even just something as simple as that, that puts a shoulder at a predisposed position, right? So now you're talking about, oh my God, like not even like here. Now, because I want as minimal water coming through as I can so I can get like the perfect entry,
Oh, that's why
now
the
I have
arms
to.
need to squeeze the head so much when you go pointed over. Oh, I always just did it because I thought it was like, I don't know. I don't know. I saw it. I was told to do it.
But that's another thing to take it, and that's why the research is very, very limited, because with swimming, I'm gonna talk mainly from a sprinter standpoint because that's what I specialize in. I was a sprinter. It was explosive movement, it was power, it was get to and from as quickly as you can versus diving. There's 3 points that judges really look at. Height in your height in the jump, the correct dive, somersaults, twists along that line, and entry. We don't want a lot of splash. We want precision. And there's a way to kind of give you the no splash effect, and it's called ripping and diving. And pretty much what that is the second your hands hit the water, you kind of have to like fling the water to the side to like bring the water down so it doesn't like cause a big splash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of little intricate stuff. That's why
I
it's
love
like
it. I
the
love
research
it.
is, you're not gonna find you're not gonna find a lot right now because it's very hard to hone in on what is it that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be a lot of expert opinions based on what they've worked with or if they did diving themselves.
You know,
But yeah,
I am I interrupting a thought? Were you finishing a thought? Okay. You got me thinking. Just hearing the three main components of diving, I started to just compare it to competitive swimming. Because competitive swimming, you're on your feet at the very beginning just to get in the water. But that's it. That's the only time. Diving, the first component that they're even judged on is that little jump.
It's the
So
jump, it's the
there could
hurdle.
potentially be foot and ankle stuff right there.
And
I
even
didn't.
with swimming, because this is totally off topic, but and it was more of a freak accident, but like I hurt my feet in swimming. because
No way.
I remember we were training, I was in high school, we were training outside because preseason we train outside,
Yeah.
outdoor pool. And I remember the glare from the sun blocked the wall. So I didn't really see the wall. So I came in on my flip turn and my feet hit the outside concrete
Oh my
of
gosh, that's a point where
the
you contact with your feet, though. But like, I forgot about that point of contact. That does happen every time you turn. Oh my gosh. Ooh, ow,
So
ow.
injuries are very interesting in both of these worlds because it's literally because when you talk to somebody saying, hey, I'm coming in because my knee hurts, or hey, I'm coming in because my shoulder, and today I'm just gonna focus on shoulder, you're allowed to pick it. Okay, when do you feel it? Do you feel it in your hurdle? Do you feel it when you're throwing your arms back or forward? Do you feel it when you're coming on your pullout from an underwater? Like, when do you feel it? Because that gives you, when is the resistance happening? Is it coming on an eccentric or concentric action? Is it more so chronic as it's been happening for a very long time, or did this just come about? Okay, if this came about, what are you doing differently? You're doing something differently. Are you changing the cupping of your hand? Are you spreading out your fingers a little bit more and you're trying to bring it together? Your body's used to something and now you're trying to change it. And your shoulder may not like it right now, but is this to get better or faster? Or are you doing this the wrong way? Or are you being taught the wrong way? So a lot of the times, that's why it's like, did a freak accident happen or has this been happening for a very, very long time in both realms? But a lot of the times with shoulder injuries, with swimmers, it's going to be more of an overuse thing because even in warm up, you're doing over a mile. And a lot of the times, especially in club year-round programs, practices are 2 hours. So you're doing a mile as your warm up and swimming in the first 10 to 15 minutes of practice and give or take on how your coach is feeling that day, either you can do a mile warm up and 6-7 miles and a 5-7 mile main workout.
Wow.
Or you're doing maybe 4 miles. And on top of that, you're doing circuits. Because I remember one practice that I had, it was circuit day. And I liked it because you kept moving and you were doing different stuff. So it didn't feel, in a sense, boring, for lack of better words.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
thing. It didn't feel boring, but I crawled to the car one time and my mom thought I was exaggerating, but I'm like, do you know what we did? And she said, what? And I said, this bench, we did elevated push-ups. This bench, we did squats. And then after that, you get in the water and each lane is a specific workout, whether it's 10 200s, and I'll get to that in a second, freestyle on 3 minutes or like whatever. And each lane was different. And then on top of that, on the other side of the pool, there's like 3 different circuits. And I'm like, we did that like 5 times. I am tired. But it was worth it, though.
Well, it makes sense you saying all this because it really connects with overuse. I get that more. I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning, comparing diving and the different pieces of information you said. One piece of information you said that's really stood out to me was that shoulders has stability and mobility, but in swimming, you're talking about mobility. So I kept thinking about that because we always know we need stability, but why are you saying that for mobility more? So right away, I'm thinking with diving, when you demonstrated to me, when they bring their arms over their head for, you know, where they hold the arms straight, squeezing their, they have to, you're raising your shoulders as much as you can, AKA not in that point of stability spot. It's not honed in there because the stability is actually almost like your core and the squeezing of your head. You're like changing your point of stability completely. And then in swimming, if we're talking about mobility there, it's when, if I'm just thinking of freestyle alone, every time you reach, you're not thinking, oh, let me keep my shoulder in. You're reaching. It is a reach every time.
And even as you're reaching right now, you can kind of feel that trunk rotation.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. There's trunk rotation. Yeah, the trunks. There's other things that's helping you because you're reaching so much. And also the arm, you need to have that beautiful shoulder extension to come up out of the water. It's almost like throwing in that when you're swimming. So I can see where there's the biomechanics, and we know there's more than just freestyle stroke, but in the biomechanics alone are a different ask in the shoulder diving compared to swimming. But then right when I was noticing the feet, the foot and ankle thing, the board, and then you gave your story of actually I hurt my foot and ankle just from my competitive swimming and on the turn, and I've totally forgot about your foot, like you having to push off. I forgot about that. And then what if you are off,
it's now looking back at my journey, you know. When you're growing up training, you always like question, like, why am I doing it? Like, this doesn't make sense. And like, what? Like, I mean, I'm doing it because my coach is telling me to, but like, nothing makes sense. But okay. But now I get older, I'm like, that's why I did that. So like, for example, you'll see swimmers when they're doing flip turns, you'll see them count towards the wall, or count the many strokes that they're taking towards the wall, so they can understand the right place, the amount of strokes they need to get their right foot placement on the wall. Because nothing is worse than you not touching the wall and not getting a push, or you're too close to the wall and now you're working twice as hard and not getting the results that you want. Mm. And I'm just like, dude, I remember just learning how to flip turn. My coach just said, spell your name. Like, that's the amount of strokes you're going to take. And I'm like, okay. And it worked, but, you know, it worked. But and I was like, okay. Yeah.
I wonder if she counted it briefly to be like, right, that's the amount of strokes in this pool. That's really funny.
I was like,
I love that.
Small, but I don't know. But at that time, it worked.
It worked.
After getting taller, all of a sudden, I was like, ooh, I can't spell my name anymore. I got to do maybe a nickname may help.
You're like, even good, even though. Yeah, you got faster. You got faster as well. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I love that. That's really cool. What other, we are getting close to the end of this podcast because I do like to keep it short.
Okay.
What, and because, and yes, for those who are listening, yes, are we a little bit scattered on how we're connecting everything? Absolutely. Because there is no format. There is no format created right now. So we're just talking openly, combining the ergonomics, the anatomy, all these things along with Ronnie's experience in order to like start kind of just discussing things that could be seen. So my last question for you is, aside from the potentiality of foot and ankle injuries and the absolutely shoulder injuries, which there is writing evidence of that, did you ever see other injuries elsewhere in the body and where?
Head injuries.
Wait, what? Okay.
Yeah.
I have the dance background, so you got it. Wait, diving, I think I could see. Is that one of them?
Yep.
Head injuries from diving?
Diving's one. Head injuries with swimming as well sometimes. I'm going to go back to my story. Now just take out the feet part. The glare is blocking the wall. And on top of that,
the glare is
you have to
wall.
Look straight.
I don't know what that means.
My bad. So the wall in the pool was white, right? And the glare from the sun is blocking the wall. So you may not see as you are closer than you realize. And on top of that, you have to look straight down in order to keep your body aligned the way that it needs to be. You can't even remotely you can give a little bit of cervical extension, but not too much. Otherwise, it's going to create more resistance and it's going to slow you down. So you're looking straight down. So that's why a lot of the times swimmers count strokes to kind of gauge where they're at in terms of the wall. So not only in terms of foot placement for their flip turn, but just understand where am I?
Wow.
I've seen people just accidentally not realize they're that close to the wall and boom. And I'm just like, okay. Luckily it wasn't too serious. And like, or I've seen people scratch their heads, or I haven't seen too much. But actually I do remember one time, and I was in high school, you're going to laugh at this, but pretty much our coach really loved how we came about our meet, because we won our competition and we were doing very well in practice and created a very great culture and everything. So our coach let us play a game, and we played Sharks and Minnows, and all of a sudden we're all having a great time. And all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, I hear screaming and I'm like, what is happening? And a girl dove in the water, not realizing there was a girl underneath her. So pretty much she broke her nose, and I think partially had a, not a fractured skull. What'd she tell me? She definitely broke her nose. And I think a bruised lip or something, but something with it, and a concussion. She did have a concussion.
I was going to say concussion.
She
I
definitely
can
had a concussion that
concussion's
day.
Happening for
sure. And you know what the funny thing is? I saw that girl last year, 2 years ago, because we had big sisters, little sisters in that swim program. She's my big sister. And she's also a physical therapist too.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Wait, when diving, I said last question, but this is really the last question. When diving, I'm assuming just like the arms have to be a little bit off for the head to be the main point of impact. Is that basically how the head gets?
Anything can be off. Anything.
Oh yeah, the head can hit the board.
Uh-huh. I don't know if you saw, but one of the memories for me that like kind of like made me a little bit scared of diving, like as I got older and like started realizing, was Greg Louganis back in the, what year was that? I think it was in the 80s, where he hit his head on the diving board and got stitches like right then and there and continued going and kept going. Like nothing happened.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God.
Wow. Oof. Oh. I can't
anything.
Imagine how dizzying that must have been. Jeez.
Anything can be off from
anything is possible.
Anything. And that's the mechanics about it. You know, you have to understand the physics about it as well. And that took a lot of time for me
age
to
age really proprioception and body awareness. Big time.
Age, proprioception, body awareness, and just
vestibular
understanding, because even now I didn't understand the physics of diving until I became a coach and someone sat me down and explained this to me. And I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much more
sense.
But like, tell me to 13-year-old Veronica, who's just trying to learn this and do this, I'm not gonna understand this.
Right, you're like, huh?
I just do what my coach tells me to do. Like, that's what I'm taught. I'm taught to do what I'm told. But
yep. Yep.
Yeah. Anything can bring you closer to the board than you anticipate. Then all of a sudden there's the board and boom, or you
Boom.
freak
Oh my
out
gosh.
and yeah.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This was an
Thank you for
absolute
having
joy.
me.
How can people find you or reach you?
I have social media. I have Facebook, Veronica Canada on Facebook, and my face is right there. There's
Yep.
no,
Perfect.
you know.
Perfect.
Or I have an Instagram as well. My Instagram handle is Ronnie Waterlife 32. I know.
Perfect. That's perfect. And that's where we can reach out to you. I think that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you
you
so much
so
for
much for
having
coming
me.
on. Thank you for your friendship. I'm
Thank
so
you.
grateful to have you on talking about this because you just know so much, and then your passion is absolutely clear. So, everyone who is listening, if you ever have any questions or want to get more insight, especially because of the lack of evidence, Ronnie is your person for sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to leave us your questions and comments at podcast.healthywealthysmart.com.